I'd like now to welcome Karen Rowell. She is the Executive Director of Youth Shelters, and we're also joined by Melissa Frank-Williams and Lizzie Lyons from Youth Shelters. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks for having
us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mayor Charlotte. It's nice for you to have us.
How has the economic situation that we find ourselves in affected homelessness, affected New Mexico's youth, Santa Fe's in particular?
So we're seeing more kids, more local kids in our street outreach. Kids are staying homeless longer.
Street outreach serves about 600 youth a year. 75 to 80% of them are local youth. And with the current economic situation, we're seeing youth who are staying in a homeless situation longer. They are unable to find employment, which prevents them from getting housing or going into a roommate situation. And it's also affecting the families of youth. It makes the life at home a little bit more stressful for everyone, which sometimes falls on the older youth to figure out what they can do to support the family. And that means maybe coming to outreach to get some food, some clothes, and that sort of stuff. They also can come and get support like that there.
And in our shelter, we're seeing kids stay longer because they don't have any place to go, or, again, things are stressful at home. As the pressure of the economic downturn increases, then there's more stress at home.
What are some of the typical family situations that youth come from that need your services?
We see youth from the whole range of things. It's not a specific economic situation. We see youth who have families with parents in very high positions, and then we see youth who are not in the best economic situation, whose families are doubled up or in unsafe housing. We see youth who are in school, who are out of school. We see youth who are Native American, Hispanic, Anglo. We see everyone. And street outreach program specifically is serving youth of a higher age. We serve anyone from their 21st birthday and under, but typically we're serving youth who are 16 to 21.
Okay, they come from across the range of the economic spectrum and so on. What are they coming to you for, or how are they even finding you?
Well, first of all, we have five programs, so they come to us for a lot of reasons. So we can, in our street outreach, we can serve them because they've been living out on the streets and or they're very marginally housed and they're hungry. They need food, clothing. We serve youth in our shelter because they might have been removed from their homes, or they might have run away, or their home is no longer a viable place for them to be, and they're in our shelter. They come to us for counseling, and in our transitional living program, they come from homelessness, and they can live with us in an apartment for up to 18 months.
They live with you. What kind of facilities are you talking about?
Well, we have a house on Airport Road that used to be our shelter and now is a dormitory-style setting where we house seven kids, and we're the only transitional living program in northern New Mexico that provides housing for pregnant or parenting teens.
Oh, boy.
And we saw, last year, we saw about 80 pregnant and parenting teens. They oftentimes come in through our street outreach program.
Is it always the girls who are coming in? When you say parenting teens,
We do see father involvement. We have served 38 young parents, 25 of which are moms, but there are occasionally the supportive father, and we do work with them as well, and we collaborate with other teen parent programs in the community, like Young Fathers and the Teen Parent Center, to provide support for these youth.
It's interesting when you are working on the level, it's, would you call it crisis level or something in that neighborhood?
It's in the trenches, and sometimes kids are in crisis, sometimes kids are, they're all in crisis of one sort or another. It's really the degree of crisis. As far as I'm concerned, if a kid is homeless, they're in crisis.
Right.
They may be managing their homelessness quite well, you know, figuring out places to sleep or whatever. But, it's untenable that we have young people who are from the town of Santa Fe who are homeless or who are sleeping in cars or, you know, kind of jumping from one couch to another and hungry.
So you've said they come from all sorts of families, but what are some of the stories? Like, how did they end up couch surfing or living in their cars or whatever?
One example is a young woman that we met a couple of years ago, and she was about 16 when we met her. She had found out that she was pregnant a couple of months earlier, and her parents were upset with her, and so they asked her to leave and figure out what she could do by herself. So she had some supportive friends. She was couch surfing for a while. When she couldn't find couches, she was sleeping on the street. But when we met her on the street, we gave her a flyer. She came to Street Outreach. We've been able to connect her with our job readiness program, which works with youth to get resumes and all that, and do mock interviewing, get work clothes, talk about how to talk appropriately to your boss. And she was able to find employment, and we were able to hook her up with some supportive housing. And she is now in her own apartment with a healthy, happy baby girl. And she has since reconnected with her family, and they are supporting her, but she's able now to take care of herself and take care of her young child. So.
And then for other people, I suppose there's drugs and substance abuse and things like that involved. Mm-hmm.
Yes. There can be neglect, substance abuse, you know, physical, emotional abuse. Sometimes there's domestic violence, and, you know, the mom might go one direction, the children go another direction. Sometimes, you know, kids are just kicked out or thrown away because the family is broken down. And I mean, I've worked with kids where they've come home and been locked out and there's nobody there and everybody moved away and their stuff was on the front porch. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's why we need to be here in town, and that's why we have this campaign going on right now called Raise the Rent, because our street outreach...
Which isn't what it sounds like.
No, it's raise the money for the rent. It's raise the sport. In this economic climate, we've had to make a lot of budget shifts, and... you know, we've been generously supported by the city and by this year by Buckaroo Ball. And with the change, of course, in families feeling the economic change, the nonprofit budgets are changing. And so we've started this campaign to raise the rent and to sustain this program, specifically our street outreach program, where homeless kids can come in. It's at 402 St. Francis Drive. They can come in, they can get food, they can get take a shower, do their laundry, get emergency services. We can help them get health care. You know, a lot of the kids that we see haven't been to the doctor in years. We help mothers get find prenatal care. And so it's a really essential grassroots kind of help. And We were fortunate to receive from a generous contribution from the Santa Fe Community Foundation Emergency Fund, which we're kind of using as the seed money to kick off this campaign to raise the rent, which includes the utilities and pay the rent throughout the next year. And we will be talking to the mayor, although I know that the city is... You know,
everything's cut across the board.
Yeah, and so, you know, my feeling about all this is that if you don't ask, you know, people don't have an opportunity to, you know, to find it in their pocket, in their heart, to support us. Our goal is about $25,000, and we've got, you know, every time we build a little bit, then there's another month of support that we have, and so. We're very optimistic that we're going to do this because every kid in our services is worth the investment. Kids come to us and, you know, we talk a lot about where they come from, but I want to talk about for a second where they go because, you know, we get moms who haven't had any prenatal care and we get them, you know, over to La Familia or to Healthcare for the Homeless or to... You know, we have a great support system of midwives, and they have wonderful babies, and they're beautiful parents. We have kids who come to us who've been homeless for, you know, months and months, who come and they live in our shelter. They get back in school. They get a stable place. They're going to college. They're contributing, and their lives are really turned around.
When I was thinking, you know, you're working there in the trenches and seeing all this real crisis, emergency level stuff that's going on. There's also the question of prevention. Mm-hmm. You know, I would think that if I were working in your position, I would think, where is there sex education? Where are there condoms and birth control education?
We do all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you do it, but I mean, by the time they get to you, it's going to be too late.
On the streets, we're providing condoms and emergency supplies on the street. But one of the important parts about street outreach is having that place for somebody, for our staff to refer that person back to when they contact a youth on the street and let them know that a doctor can see them at the street outreach center, or that we are running classes on harm reduction for sex and drugs that works with youth on prevention.
Oh, so you really aspect. Are doing the prevention.
Oh, yeah.
And and on site we provide art. Art groups that are art therapy, and we have access to counselors and doctors, and we're doing other groups. One of the other vulnerable, we've talked a lot about pregnant and parenting youth, one of the other vulnerable populations that we serve is gay, transgendered, and lesbian, bisexual youth. When youth come out to their parents, are highly likely to be kicked out for their sexual orientation, and the national statistics have 20-30% of homeless youth are identify as other than heterosexual.
We're running
a gay straight alliance on Monday afternoons at street outreach, and through the drop-in center and the street program, we serve 600 youth every year, and this is what we expect to serve this year, because having found a building to be in. We've been in this new building at 402 St. Francis for about a year, and since the program has found a home, we've been able to double our numbers. Since we have opened, we've served 1,600. We've had 1,600 youth walk through our door, about 300 of them unduplicated. So we're really seeing a higher level of people coming in now that we have a nice and stable location. And one of our youth came through the door and was getting food out of the kitchen, and he was like, wow, this just feels like it's a safe home. It feels like being at your friend's house, and that's what we're looking for, to make people feel safe when they come there off the streets.
It's tricky because I would think that it's, by definition, transitional, but once they find, if they've come from unstable lives, once they find that stability, they wouldn't want to ever leave.
You know, we want them to leave, but yeah. We want them to leave with skills and in a safe way. And one of the things that we work really hard on is trying to mend their relationships with adults. Many of the kids that we serve have had difficult relationships with adults. They're wary of therapy, they're wary of adults, the whole nine yards. Oftentimes people refer to homeless kids as unaccompanied youth, which means that they have no support system.
Right.
So in all of our programs, what we really strive for from day one is to create a relationship with us, so they will come, they will let us assist them, they will help, let us partner with them to change their life.
Do they take more easily to people closer to their age in general?
Again, this is all about the uniqueness of a child. I mean, there's some kids who are definitely looking for a mother figure. Some are looking for peers. Some are looking for grandparents. We have an amazing set of volunteers, and we're always looking for new volunteers to continue this program. And it's through our community support and through everybody in the Santa Fe community volunteering and helping provide donations to the street outreach program, whether that be money to help raise the rent or whether that be clothes and food. Anything the community can provide is always really helpful.
And I will chime in on that note and let folks know about our website, which is www.youthshelters.org. And on there is our wish list of items that are needed at Street Outreach, but also in our other programs, as well as other ways to donate. We do have a way to donate online. And also our phone number, which is 505-983-0586. Folks can call there as well. And volunteer information is on the website as well as the application.
If somebody wanted to come and cook a meal, for example, and bring some food, they could just do that?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We don't have a kitchen for preparing food at our street outreach. But if someone was interested in delivering food, or we have a program actually on another site in our emergency shelter where we actually have a cooking program, and if they were interested in being involved in that, they could certainly come and do that. We have all kinds of people that do wonderful volunteering, from a computer tech to someone who cooks to someone who has this great acumen for playing ping pong and having great storytelling time with kids.
Right.
And recently at Street Outreach, another way that the kids have sort of made the new building a home is we had a couple of volunteers from the community and a couple of our kids work together to make a really nice garden at Street Outreach. And so we're hoping to be giving out some organic fresh garden vegetables come the fall. So we're really
sometimes it's
that.
Things like that that make all the difference.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. That connection, yes. To living things.
It's a connection. Yeah.
Yeah. So you were talking about where people go. Do they sometimes, I mean, you've been around for a while, do they sometimes
years.
Come back and and work with the next generation or the next crop of kids?
One of the stories that we recently had was a youth who was previously at the shelter at a younger age, and some things happened, and he ended up in front of our door looking for shelter. And he, at that point, was too old to be at our youth shelter, which only serves up to 17. But we were able to get him housed in our transitional housing program. And since then, he's participated in a lot of our programs, like workforce development and in our Street Smart program. And he's able to stay there and working on school and that sort of stuff. So we have been able to support kids who, after the shelter, have gotten apartments or have moved on later in life to get apartments. And then, you know, with the economy the way it is, some of our kids have lost jobs that have kept them stable for the last year and have come back to Street Outreach since they know where it is, and they're able to find food and that support to keep them going and until they can find employment again. So,
well, the other thing about it is that our programs are really set up on a continuum, in that First Contact Street Outreach is called First Contact Street Outreach because lots of times that's what happens. And we do have youth that come in and they will start off, and then they may go to transitional living, or they may go to the shelter and then transitional living. And so that's really the model from which we operate, is to really provide a system that provides that long-term safety and stability for youth.
So if people want to contact you, they can go to youthshelters.org. Mm-hmm. They can call 983-0586. Anything else you want to let people know about, or just making a call to the public right now?
I think reminding people that we started with the conversation with the economy. This is a really important time, and people are really facing some hardships with money. And this is a time when more people are one paycheck away from homelessness, and it's definitely affecting the youth. And we're hoping that everybody supports our program and helping raise the rent so that youth have a safe place to access for food and clothes and support and mentorship by caring staff and volunteers.
And we're all hoping that the stimulus programs work all over the country and in New Mexico. But if they don't work real fast, or they don't work in every way, and there's still these problems, this is something ongoing for people to think about,
yes.
Not only in the weeks, but the years to come.
Yes, exactly.
Karen Rowell, Melissa Frank Williams, and Lizzie Lyons, thank you so much for being with us on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. It was a pleasure.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. KSFR streams live on the web at ksfr.org. You can email me at radiocafe@ksfr.org or leave a message at 428-1528. We're podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, the Colors of Jazz.